has been about home. And friend, I am thankful for that heavenly home. Grace is good all the way to heaven, even dying grace. There's more grace, enough grace, sufficient grace. I thank God for that. Appreciate everybody being obedient to the Spirit. Thankful for that song. Would you turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23. While you're turning tonight, I just want to share with you a few prayer requests. I know each of us have prayed before church tonight, and there's many other requests that I may not mention. Doesn't mean they're not important. These are some things I just want to remind you of that we pray for. I'd like for you to continue to pray for the Ladd family. Continue to pray for Brother Randall. Pray that specifically God will give him strength and help his breathing and touch Sister Brenda. I'd like for you to continue to pray for Sister Brenda's sister and Emma, if I remember correctly. God would help her as she's dealing with cancer as well. I would like for you to pray for James Hembry. We've been praying for him and Sister Kathy, and he has had his results back. I believe they have a treatment plan set up for him that they're hoping will work, and so we need to pray God would help and touch them. And I'd like for you to keep in prayer, make sure I'm got this info correctly, Brother Shane, if you don't mind, but your mom is having surgery this Thursday, is that correct? And I'd like to request prayer. Just to put it simply, it's I guess you could say maybe a more in-depth surgery, and pray God would touch the doctors, touch her and her nerves, and give grace and peace there, and good success. I'd like to also ask you to remember to pray for Brother Jake. Don't forget Brother Jake in your prayers, and he's had good success. For you that may be visiting, listening online, Brother Jake's a member of our church, and him and his wife, and 33 years old and dealing with cancer, and the treatments, as far as we know, had good success, been able to eat a whole lot more, and we're thankful for that. He's a good Baptist, and he knows how to eat and loves to eat. So continue, please, to pray for him and his wife in your prayers. Jeremiah chapter number 23, I want to begin reading in verse number 14 tonight. If you'd stand one more time in honor of the reading of God's Word. To be honest with you, it's been such a sweet service. I don't want to do anything to mess that up or to ruin that or go against that. The subject that I'm preaching on tonight may not appear to be maybe a more glorious subject or maybe a more comforting subject, but it's what God's put on our hearts today, what we've been studying. I pray that God would just have His will and way, and for whatever reason, God would help us to preach this. I pray it'd be a help tonight. Jeremiah 23, verse 14. Of course, this is Jeremiah, and he is the one speaking here. He said, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. That verse amazes me right there. Those words, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. He says, look in verse number 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But, notice this, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. I want to preach on this thought tonight, how to preach and help nobody. How to preach and help nobody. If you want to know how to preach and help nobody, we'll look in this passage tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd please help us. Lord, I pray you'd please loose our voice tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless those that are here. Lord, I know that your word will prosper where you send it. God, we claim that promise tonight. Lord, help us to preach in the manner you'd have us to preach, that it would be a help. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing this evening. I want to preach on this thought tonight. As I began to read this passage and study this, this is what came to my mind, that thought. Friend, if there was ever a lesson on how to preach and help nobody, friend, that lesson could be learned inside of Jeremiah chapter number 23. Now you say, hold on, this just sounds like a sermon for a preacher, and I'm not a preacher, and to be quite honest, this sermon probably is picking on preachers, including myself, more than anybody, but friend, I want you to remember that all of us are vessels and testimonies that are written of men and read of all men. And friend, we all have some preaching to do inside of our lives. And by the way, you may not preach, you may teach, and you may not teach here in Sunday school, but you may teach your kids, you may teach on the workplace. Friend, all of us have some preaching in our lives, if you will. Friend, if you want to know how to preach and help nobody, we'll see this inside of this chapter. Friend, we'll learn how to preach so that none doth return from his wickedness, and how to preach so that the hands of evildoers are strengthened. Notice Jeremiah's heart in this passage was broken as he began to observe this type of preaching all around him. As I read this chapter, I guess you could say the burden that was placed upon my heart began to be broken as Jeremiah's heart was broken because of the prophets, because I realized that really we live in a day and age in America, full of preaching in the same manner as what was going on in those days. Friend, many of us, you can go home tonight and you can turn on your TV and you can turn it over to the Christian channels. And friend, there's a lot of preachers on there that you can listen to that have learned how to preach and how to help nobody while they're doing it. Friend, you can turn on your computer tonight. You can get on website after website, and you can listen to prophets and preachers, friend, that have learned how to preach and how to help nobody with their preaching. I'm afraid we live in a country and in a culture where many so-called churches and many so-called seminaries, some people call them cemeteries, friends, so many so-called preachers from those churches and seminaries have learned how to preach and how to help nobody. And they've mastered the art of how to preach so that none doth return from his wickedness. I believe today, friend, our world does not need any more ear ticklers. Friend, the world does not need any more feel-good gospel to be preached inside of it. But friend, I do believe that we still need some men of God that will be willing to fill the pulpit, men who have already been with God before they got in the pulpit, men that have heard from God, and men that are willing to say what we need to hear. You say, what does that have to do with me? I'm not a preacher. Friend, if you hear that preaching, say amen when you hear it. And friend, also, you can preach with your life. Friend, we don't just need preachers that have been with God. We need moms and dads and Christians who have been with God and heard from God and are willing to say what God has told them. And friend, Jeremiah was that man with his life. As you read through this book, I feel more for Jeremiah probably than I do for any other prophet. I feel sorry for Jeremiah more than I do any other prophet. Jeremiah was just as bold as many of the other prophets. He was just as close with God as many of the other prophets in the Old Testament. But Jeremiah preached in his ministry for around 41 years, and in his ministry, he had seemingly little to no effect upon the people of his day, in spite of all of his preaching and standing in the gap. By the way, I wouldn't be too discouraged. Jeremiah would be delighted to know that although he didn't seem to have much effect with his preaching then, he didn't realize that God had wrote down all of his prophecies with an infallible iron pen and had placed them inside of the eternal word of God. And friend, Jeremiah stood in the gap and nobody seemed to listen to him then. But I would like to know how many thousands and thousands of people have come to know Christ and repent of their sins because of the preaching from the book that Jeremiah wrote. What I'm saying is Jeremiah was one of those men that had been with God and heard from God and was willing to preach what God had given him. Jeremiah, just to tell you a little bit about him, Jeremiah prophesied during a time in Israel whenever it was divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Friend, you can't look back into Old Testament history without knowing the history of Israel. There was a time after Solomon that they divided, and they had a civil war, revolt, if you will, and there was two kingdoms. At this time of Jeremiah's life, the northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity by Assyria, the enemy from the north. They had taken them and defeated them. And in Israel, the northern kingdom was no more. At this time, Jeremiah was prophesying when there was only a southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah prophesied during his time that Judah would also be defeated and they would be taken captive. And his prophecies found their fulfillment during his very lifetime. Friend, Jeremiah lived to see the day that Babylon would take over the little nation of Judah. We know that the book of Isaiah comes before the book of Jeremiah. We know that Jeremiah preached somewhere around 50 years after Isaiah's ministry had concluded. So just a little bit of mental picture. The prophet before him was Isaiah, and then there was Jeremiah. And Jeremiah also, just a neat thing to know, if you will, Jeremiah lived during the same time as the prophet Ezekiel and the prophet Daniel. They're what you call contemporaries inside of the Word of God. Their ministries overlapped in history, and they lived during the same time. Now, I'll say this. I don't know that they ever met one another. I don't know. There's a possibility they could, Ezekiel and Daniel could, have heard Jeremiah preach before they were taken away. We'll never know this. It would be neat to know. But I do find it interesting that God raised up these three prophets at the same time. Not only this, I find it interesting that God sent these three prophets in three different directions in history. We know that when Babylon came in, we know that Daniel was taken into captivity into Babylon, but he became a man inside of the government of Babylon. Do you remember that? He became a prime minister, if you will. And so God used Daniel as a preacher and a prophet inside of the government of Babylon. Now look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel was probably about the same age, and he was taken in captivity to Babylon, but he was a prophet, not inside the government of Babylon, but he was a prophet in the plains of Babylon, there with the slaves of Israel and the refugee camps of Israel. Friend, he and Daniel probably never saw each other, but friend, God placed them there to preach. Now, Jeremiah, he was not taken in captivity, but he was forced to go with some Israelites that had escaped down into the land of Egypt. You say, what does that mean? Who cares? Friend, I am encouraged by this because that tells me everywhere that God has people, friend, God has a preacher. Friend, God will not let us go without some preaching in our life. Friend, where God has people, God has a prophet. Just as soon as there was sin, God raised up Abel, who was the first prophet inside inside of history. Not only six generations after that, he raised up Enoch to minister and to preach unto those before the flood, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and so on and so forth. Friend, God has a prophet for God's people. Friend, can I say this? You cannot get away from the preaching of the Holy Ghost. You may skip out on church, but friend, God will follow you. He'll prepare a well for you like Jonah. And friend, even when no preacher can preach to you, even God himself will find a way to preach to you. Is that right or is that wrong? Friend, God raised up Jeremiah to preach, and that is what he did. Where God has a people, he has a messenger that will speak on his behalf. And that was Jeremiah. He was there all the way. He was preaching on God's behalf. Look in Jeremiah chapter number 1. We find that was where Jeremiah was called into the ministry. I feel that I can relate to Jeremiah somewhat. He was called while he was a child. In his youth, God called him. He said, I've sanctified thee in the womb before. I formed thee in the womb. I knew thee and I called thee, sanctified thee, ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Look in chapter 1, verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Notice that, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my, what? Words in thy mouth. Notice this, verse number 16. He said, And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Notice this is the calling of Jeremiah. We can read all the way through Jeremiah. We can preach through it, all the sermons that Jeremiah preached. I'll tell you this, Jeremiah didn't waver from what God called him to do. God said, Don't be afraid of their faces. I made thee an iron pillar. Be not dismayed. They will come against you, but they won't prevail. I want you to preach unto them judgment because of their wickedness. That's what I want. Jeremiah did that time after time after time. We preached on that before. But I want you to remember, with that in mind, go back to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah was a man that was truly called by God, obedient unto God. But here in chapter 23, Jeremiah, who was called by God, he began to look around. The more he turned on his TV, the more that he scrolled through his Facebook, the more churches that he visited with, if you will, the more prophets that he found that had never been chosen by God. They had never been called by God like he had been. Friend, he noticed that there were preachers that were running and God had not sent them, and they were speaking and God had not given them any words to speak. And that began to grieve him, knowing that there were men, in other words, that were faking a calling on our life. Can I say this? The world does not need any more fake preachers. God told Jeremiah not only this. Jeremiah, no doubt, in chapter 23, he had remembered how Jeremiah, God told him to preach his word. There in chapter 1, he said, I have put my word in thy mouth. Friend, Jeremiah was called by God, and he began to see prophets that weren't called by God. Jeremiah was speaking the word of God, but he began to see prophets around him that were preaching everything but the word of God, their own visions, their own dreams, anything they could make up other than the word of God. Not only this, but God had told Jeremiah to preach judgment unto them, but these prophets preached peace without any judgment. What am I trying to get at? I'm trying to say Jeremiah's heart was broken because of the preaching that he heard around him. Friend, I don't know about you, we should probably grieve more often about some of the preaching that we hear around us every day. We hear some of the things that so-called Christian leaders are telling us in America is okay, isn't sin anymore. There's more than one way to heaven. There's things that you can do to make you happy that the Bible says is wrong. Friend, that is not right in the eyes of God. We ought to grieve our hearts and break our hearts to hear preaching around us that is contrary to God's word. Notice in verse chapter 23, there in verse 9, it broke Jeremiah's heart. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He was the lamenting prophet. But he said, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets, and all my bones shake." Friend, not only was he heartbroken because of the people of Israel, he was heartbroken because of the priests and the prophets of Israel and their profane lives and messages. Perhaps the saddest part about this whole ordeal for Jeremiah was there in verse 22. This was probably the saddest part for him. He said, "But if they had stood in my counsel, God, and had caused my people to hear my words," notice, "then they should have turned them from their evil way." Here's Jeremiah. He's preaching for years and years and years. And yes, he's preaching judgment. And friend, I understand. Friend, people get sick of hearing about judgment preaching. And you may even get sick when I preach on judgment and sin as much as I do. I hope that you don't. But friend, he is preaching this not just because he loves judgment, but he also knows that God is a God of mercy. And he understands if they'll turn from their sins, friend, God is a merciful God and will spare judgment if we will repent of our sins. He's trying to get everybody on board. He's trying to show them, but he's only one man, and he looks around at all these prophets that are supposed to be with him. They're supposed to be preaching what God has told him to preach as well, but instead they're doing everything but that. No doubt they're in it for different reasons, but nonetheless, he realizes this. If they would have preached what God has told me, and I know that he's told them, then this people would have turned and God would have shown mercy. That is the saddest part. You know, the saddest part about all this false preaching we hear today is knowing how many people would really repent if they would only know that they needed to repent. How many people would truly give their hearts and lives to Christ if they really realized and were told that that's what they needed to do? Friend, they didn't need to turn over a new leaf. They needed a new life in Christ Jesus. His heart was broken because of how that it could have been. If they would have preached, the people would have hearkened. They would have listened. They would have obeyed. They would have repented. They would have been saved. They would have been helped. How many times have we had the opportunity to actually be a help in our life and nobody received any help because of what we said or what we did? I want to give you a few points. I'll be done tonight. How do we preach and help nobody? You say, that's what a weird topic. Friend, that's what Jeremiah is showing us here. How to preach and help nobody. Number one, if you want to preach and not help anybody, then don't preach sanctified. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying if you, maybe you're a preacher, maybe you're not, that's beside the point. If you are going to witness and be a help to others, and friend, you must live a sanctified life. Can I say this? If nobody else, I'll pick on me and Brother Marcus tonight. Friend, a preacher especially, whenever he mounts the pulpit of God's word, no matter where he stands, friend, he is to preach with a sanctified life behind his sermon that he is preaching. Is everybody okay with that? Friend, that is what God holds us to. Look in verse 10. Jeremiah looked down in the land, if you will. He said, "The land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil. Their force is not right." In other words, he looks out and he says, all of Israel is wicked and adulterous and vain. And friend, that's to be expected. That's the world we live in today. But what really broke his heart was in verse 11. He said, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." He said, what really breaks my heart, I see wickedness all throughout my land, but I find it in my very own house. I find the leaders in our churches, the leaders in the temple, the leaders in the house of God, the ones that are to make intercession for the next generation. I find wickedness in them. Friend, what does God say when he looks at us as parents, grandparents, leaders in our homes? Friend, what does he find with our priestliness, if you will? He said, my house have I found there wickedness. In other words, how could they preach to help anybody if their life did not match their lips anyway? If their life was not sanctified, then how could their lips be sanctified? If they could not live what God had commanded them, how were they to tell others to live that? Friend, is that not worthy enough of asking that question today? Friend, if you can't live your life for God, why should you tell your children to live your life for God? Friend, if you can't live like you're saved, why do you want your kids to be saved? Is that a fair enough question for everybody? Friend, I want you to think about this. The effect of your words will depend upon your life. Friend, once again, you cannot be a good preacher. One man said this, and this is not my words. You cannot be a good preacher without first being a good man. It doesn't matter how much you know, how much you've learned, how intelligent you are, how much finesse you may have, or how loud you may preach and spit. Friend, you cannot be a good preacher without being a good man. Friend, I think that goes for every Christian. We cannot be a good witness, a good parent, without first being a good Christian. We cannot tell others without living it out first. Let me say this. These are some things, some words that have stuck with me for the years that I've, just the short time I've been in ministry. One man said this, and I wrote this down. He said, the pulpit may be the center of overwhelming power, and it may also be the scene of a tragic disaster, depending upon the life of the man behind it. Friend, I think that applies to a whole lot more areas than the pulpit, don't you? One man said this. He said, whatever call that a man or a woman may pretend to have in their life, if they have not been first called to holiness, then they certainly have not been called into the ministry. Friend, if we cannot fulfill the call of holiness in our lives, then how can we fulfill the other calls we say we have? I know we can't be sinless, spotless. I'm saying we can pursue a life of holiness. Let me read you one more quote. We'll keep preaching tonight. Clarence McCartney, he said this, a preacher. He said, when the preacher mounts the pulpit stairs, he said, at that very moment, every bit of self-denial that he's made, every Christian forbearance that he has shown, every resistance to sin and temptation will come back to him to strengthen his arm. And friend, it will give conviction to his voice. Likewise, every evasion of God's duties in his life and every indulgence of self, every compromise with evil and every unworthy thought and word and deed, if he does that, they will also be there at the pulpit to steal the light from his eyes, to take the power from his blow, and to take the ring from his voice and the joy from his heart. In other words, everything you do is going to affect what you say on God's behalf. And friend, if you want to preach and help nobody, then don't preach with the sanctified life behind it. Friend, that goes in so many areas of the Christian life. Notice number two, how to preach and help nobody. Don't preach sanctified. Don't preach on sin. Don't preach on sin. If you want to preach and help nobody, then don't preach on sin. Don't point out sin. I'm not talking about being a talebearer. I'm not talking about being a gossip. I'm not talking about intentionally trying to hurt people or look down on people or condescend. I'm talking about people need to know what's wrong and they need to know what's right. But you can't know what's right without first knowing what's wrong. And you can't know how to get your wrongs right unless you first know that you're doing wrong. Friend, it's not always the greatest time when God lays a sermon on my heart or on somebody else's to preach on sin. But I realize, like Jeremiah, friend, if we don't preach on sin, then friend, people will never come to the Savior. Don't preach on sin. Notice verse 13. He said, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Notice this. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. In other words, here's what he's saying. He said, I've looked down into Samaria, and I see down there in Samaria some prophets that are preaching in the name of Baal. He said, that's bad. Friend, that's most certainly not preaching on behalf of God. That's preaching on behalf of the devil. He said, they have caused my people to err. But then God looks from Samaria into Jerusalem, and he said, I see prophets there. And he said, what they're doing is a horrible thing. He didn't say that about the prophets of Baal. He said about the prophets in Jerusalem. Why was it horrible? Friend, they weren't preaching in the name of Baal. They said they were preaching in the name of God, but yet they still strengthened the hands of evildoers, that none returned from their wickedness. What is he trying to say? Friend, what's worse? A Muslim preacher converting those to Islam and taking them away from the faith? What's worse, that? Or a preacher that preaches so-called in the name of our God and yet never preaches on sin and never brings anybody to repentance and nobody gets saved? What's worse? In other words, a prophet of Baal, a prophet of Jerusalem. Friend, we need to be preached on sins. Everybody okay with that? I don't know about you, but I need my sins preached on. I need my toes stepped on every once in a while. I need to know when I'm doing something wrong. Friend, it may hurt me for a little bit, but it'll do me more good than it will do me bad to know about my sin. Friend, whenever I pray, God, forgive me, cleanse me of my sins. But if there's something I'm doing that is sin, show me. Send somebody to tell me that I'm doing wrong. Friend, we need some preaching on sin. Is everybody okay with that? We need, thirdly, not only, friend, if you want to preach and help nobody, don't preach sanctified, don't preach on sin. But notice number three, don't preach sincerely. Don't preach insincerity. We've got a lot of churches that are simply just playing church. We've got a lot of Christians that come to church just playing church. We don't take things seriously here. Many times we don't take the preaching, the worship seriously, our attendance and faithfulness seriously. And sad to say, there are many preachers who don't take their calling seriously. Friend, we need some sincerity when we preach. You people know this. Friend, people can sense ungenuine, if that's a word, ungenuineness from a mile away. Insincerity. Somebody that really doesn't mean what they say and doesn't believe what they say. You know what our kids and next generation need? They don't really need more programs, more fun, more activities. All that stuff's great. But they need to know that what we preach unto them is real and that we believe it and that we're sincere about it. You say, where is that in this chapter? Look there in verse 32. He said, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Taking it lightly. Can I say this? Is God really serious to you in your life? I mean, do you really take the things that he has to say seriously? Number four, we'll keep moving. If we want to preach and help nobody, don't preach sanctified. Don't preach on sin. Don't preach with sincerity. Number four, don't preach with his sure word. If we want to preach and help nobody, don't preach with this book right here. You know why? Because when you do preach with this book, people get help. Friend, whenever you teach your kids this book, there is nothing bad that can be given them if you give them this book. Friend, I hope that it's never a burden to you. I try my hardest to preach as much as I can and include as much Bible in my sermons as I can. You say, why do you do that? That may not be a favorite to most people that I do that, but I know this, if my sermon's a flop, you can't leave and say he didn't preach the Bible and you didn't get something from the Word of God. Because, friend, even when I fail, friend, if we can just get something from this book, friend, then we know that this book will prosper and will cut and will work every time. Notice what God said, verse 16. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. they speak a vision of their own heart. They don't speak the word of God. They speak of their own heart. Friend, you remember what Jeremiah said? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said they preach from their own heart. In verse 22, he said, if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear what? My words. Then, friend, they would have returned from their wickedness. What did it take? It took a sure word of God. Look in verse 28. He said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. In other words, there's always going to be those people that preach for the wrong reasons and they preach the wrong things. They preach their heart instead of God's heart. He said, don't pay no mind to them. Those that have dreams, let them preach their dreams. But those that have my word, I want you to preach faithfully my word. Hold up your Bible tonight. Friend, they that have my word, be faithful unto my word. Friend, this is what's going to get you through your trial. This book is what your children need the most of in their life. This is what our community needs. A sure word. Look in verse 23, I believe it is. 29. He said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. In other words, I have a sure word. Notice lastly, I'll be done tonight. How to preach and help nobody. Don't preach sanctified. Don't preach on sin. Don't preach with sincerity. Don't preach with his sure word. Lastly, don't preach on the Savior. If we really want to preach and help nobody in our lives, don't preach on the Savior. Friend, on the contrary, if you really want to be a help, friend, it's all about our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, what does this have to do with this chapter? These people lived before Jesus. They don't know about the Savior. Friend, they knew about the Savior. They didn't know about him like we know about him. They didn't look back at the cross, but they did look forward to it. Friend, they didn't understand all the details about Jesus, but they knew there was a Messiah coming. You know what I find that's left out in all these prophets preaching? There's never any preaching about the Savior. There's never any preaching about the prophesied Messiah. Jeremiah was that man of God, though, that preached his word. Look there in verse number 5. Actually, we'll start verse 1. Read our way down to verse 5. Jeremiah knew there was coming a Savior. He said, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. He said, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Notice there in verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous what? A righteous branch. Look in your King James Bible. You notice that is a capital B. That branch is not a thing. That branch is a person. He said a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Verse 6, and in his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. This was not some random man. This was not an earthly king that would come. This was not one of the normal sons of David. If it had been, they would not have been called the Lord our righteousness. He is preaching about Jesus Christ, the branch. Why the branch? Because he is the root out of dry ground. He is the vine that we are to abide in. He is the tender plant that has grown up before us. He, friend, is our life and our abundant life. Jeremiah preached a lot of judgment. He preached a lot of things that they didn't want to hear. He had a negative ministry, if you will. But one thing about it, he always came back to the Savior and the Messiah that would come and salvation that would come through him. Friend, you may be sick of hearing me preach. You may be sick of hearing about sin. You may be sick of hearing about judgment. But friend, if we can look past that also, friend, I serve a risen Savior. And it's good news today that he took our judgment upon the cross for our sins and made a way for us to be saved. They never preached about the Savior, and certainly nobody could ever receive help. But friend, if we can just lift up Christ, friend, men will be able to look and live, and he will draw all men unto himself. Friend, when I stand in this pulpit, I want to stand here sanctified. I want to preach on sin. I want to preach with sincerity. I always want to preach out of this sure word. But friend, I always want to preach about the Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, all is vain if I don't point others to Christ. What does this have to do with me? I'm not a preacher. Friend, you preach with your life. Where's the cross at? Where is Jesus at? Friend, where is the witness there? Friend, every single one of these can be applied in your life. You take them, you preach them to yourself, I'll preach them to myself, and then we'll preach them to others. Friend, we live in a world that needs to know about our Savior. Jeremiah, 500 years before Christ, told him about the Savior, the righteous branch, the Lord our righteousness, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Friend, 2,000 years after the cross, we're still to tell others about him. I love what brother, I'm trying to think of his name, one of the inspiration singers, the bass singer. He's also a preacher. He said, I made it a point in my life that every time I'd open up my Bible to preach, no matter where my text was, I'd start there and I'd make a beeline towards the cross. Friend, I think that'd be some good advice for us in our lives today. Lift up the Savior. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes tonight? Musicians are making their way forward. I don't know why exactly God's placed this on my heart, but he's placed it there for a reason. Somebody needs to hear this. I'm not sure who it is. I know I needed it. I don't want to be one of those pastors, preachers that God says, woe unto you. And I don't think you want to be one of those Christians that God says, woe unto you. Where are we at with our lives, our lips, our witness? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight, anything like that. I want to ask you, friend, pray right where you're at or pray right down here at this altar. God would help us to be a witness, to preach his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house tonight. Thank you for those that have come. Lord, I pray you'd bless them and encourage them. Lord, help us to see you high and lifted up. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live that sanctified life, set apart for you. Help our life to match our lips. Lord, we are to preach on sin, but Lord, we're also to preach on the Savior. To tell others about him. Help us to do that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a minute. The altars are open right now. I want to give you an opportunity while nobody's looking. You'd like to come down here and pray. You're welcome to do that. you stand with us? So much being in God's house with us. Any announcements need to be made before we dismiss?